We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 65th chapter. Lam natzeach mizmor l'David shir. Technically, the tunes on this break up the pasuk very differently than other times that you have lam natzeach mizmor l'David. Over here, it's lam natzeach mizmor l'David shir. It's not mizmor l'David. Lam natzeach mizmor, to the one who conducts the song. Le David Shir, a song to David. Now, the significance of this breakup, I do not know. I don't know. We have to look in Rav Hirsch. He's the only commentary I know of that really focuses on the tunes. But it is worth noting that it is broken up differently. Lecha dumiya tehila Elohim b'tzion. Lecha to you Hashem. Dumiya tehila. The praise that's fitting is silence. What does that mean? It means that the more you're going to say, you're not going to advance any, because there's so much to say that anything you say is detracting. Lecha dumiya tehila. This is a pasuk that's quoted in the Talmud. There was once a person who went to daven before the Amud, and he started praising God. You are great, you are mighty, you are wonderful, you are awesome, you are fantastic. And he's going on and on and on. When he finishes, Rava says, are you done yet? You're not done, you haven't even started. So what are you saying? You're never going to cover it all. So that's why this pasuk is quoted in that halachic perspective, that dumiyat tehillah, the true praise is silence. You're never going to get it right. So whatever our sages taught us, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, Akela, Gadola, Gibor, Vanora, so we also say. But if he wouldn't have said it, we wouldn't have said it. Elohim b'tzion, Hashem, whose presence is most felt in Zion in Jerusalem. Ulecha yeshulam neder. And to you, Hashem, people will pay up their vows. And the idea here is that people take on vows when they're in a time of need. They say, God, save me, and I'll do such and such. And if they're davening to Hashem, David HaMelech is saying, then their prayers will be answered, and then they will pay up their vows. If a person's out at sea, and he says, Zeus, save me, and I'll give $1 million to your temple, so then he might not pay that vow in the end, because he might not be saved. When David says, Ulecha yeshulam neder, what he means to say is that you answer people's prayers, and that's why people will pay up their vows to you. Shomea tefilah adecha kol basar yavo. Before we continue to this pasuk, I just want to address the previous pasuk for a minute. At first glance, when we read this pasuk, or we read Ashrei, or many chapters in Tehillim, it seems exaggerated. It seems poetic. How many times did we daven and our prayers were not answered? David is saying people who take vows, they pay up because you deliver. Well, how many people took vows and God did not deliver? They didn't get what they wanted. Is David ignoring that? Is David ignoring that there are people whose prayers were not answered? David prayed for his own son that he would live, and after 7 days the child died. So what does David mean over here? Ulecha yeshulam neder. So one level of understanding is that David is really speaking in a general sense. In general, you answer people's prayers, and that's why people will pay up their vows to you. So that's one level of interpretation. There's another level of interpretation. The Rambam discusses that depending on a person's level spiritually, that defines how much hashgacha pratit he will merit, how much Hashem will watch over every single footstep he makes. There are people who are on a very, very high level, and then even little things by them have great meaning. Like the Talmud says, if a person sticks his hand in his pocket and he wants to take out one coin and he takes out the other coin, so then that was decided in heaven. Is that true for every one of us, really? If we put on our left shoe on our right foot by mistake, was that decided in heaven? Or does it depend on a person's level? So it could be that David is also speaking off of his own experience. on his level, every little thing was gauged from above. It could be that someone else is not on that level. Probably most people are not on that level. The truth is that the pasuk deserves more discussion. But let's go back to the simple understanding, and that is that David says, generally, you answer people's prayers, and so they pay up their vows to you. There's really another point that we should notice. David over here is speaking about the balance. He's saying on the one hand, Lecha dumiyat tehillah. The greatest praise is silence because we're never going to cover it all. So he's speaking about a person who has what to praise about. On the other hand, he's saying that doesn't absolve us from our obligations. Ulecha yishulam neder. A person should nonetheless pay up his vows. He shouldn't say, well, I'm never going to cover the praise. So what does God need my donations for? You know the story about the guy who was looking for a parking spot, right? Yeah. He says, God, find me the parking spot. I'll donate $50 to shul. And just as he says that, a car pulls out in front of him and he says, never mind, God, I found one. So, David HaMelech says, Lecha dumiyat tehillah. Praise, well, silence is the most fitting praise because you're never going to cover it. But on the other hand, Ulecha yishulam neder. A person should still pay up his vows. He can't say, what does God need it for? Shomea tefilah adecha kol basar yavo. God who listens to our prayers, all flesh, all of humanity will come before him. Adecha could also mean before him. Adecha, to you, kol basar yavo, all flesh, all living beings will come to pray before you. Divrei avonot gaveru meheni pesha'enu ata techaperem. Divrei avonot, the things of my sin, the speech of my sins, gaveru meni. I don't have enough merits, David HaMelech says. I have so many sins. And he says, avonot, I have sins that I did on purpose. Gaveru meni, and they overtook me. Pesha'enu, the things that we did rebelliously, ata techaperem. We turn to you because you're willing to atone, you're willing to cover over them in your kindness. And people ignore these psukim. David speaks about avon and pesha. David speaks about sins that are weighty, meaning great people also do sins, and sometimes on purpose. David says, he says about himself, he says, Shgiyot miyavin. The things I did by mistake, well, who can overcome that? Ministarot, I have those sins that I never even knew I did. Nakeini, God, cleanse me of that. But then he goes on to speak about avonot and pshaim, and then he goes on to speak about the sins he did on purpose and those that he even did rebelliously. Yes, part of being a great person is that we have downs. It's not only about ups. And that's also part of greatness. We don't look forward to it. We don't take pride in it. And we try to come out of it. But the fact that a person has a down doesn't mean he's not great. Part of being great is coming out of the downs. He's down and he's going to climb back up. Ashrei tivchar utkarev yishkon chatzerecha. Praised is the person that you choose, and you bring him close to live in your courtyards. Nisbea betuv beitecha kedosh heichalecha. Nisbea, let us be satiated, betuv beitecha, with the good of your home. And that could mean the good that emanates from Hashem's home. Kedosh Eichalecha, from the holiness of Hashem's room, so to speak. Let us be satiated from that. So that's the simple reading of the Pasuk. Does this Pasuk sound familiar? You guys should know this Pasuk. Shomea tefillah, the Sfardim say, right. Ashrei tivcharut karev, yishkon chatzerecha. Maybe I'll say it in a different tune, it'll sound more familiar. Shrei tivchaut karev yishkon chatzerecha, nisba betuv beitecha, kedosh eichalecha. Where do you hear it? At a bris milah. We say it by a bris. Shrei tivchaut karev, praised is the one that you choose and you bring close to live in your courtyard. So we say it in reference to the child that's entering the covenant. Nisba b'tuv beitecha, may we and he be satiated with the good of your home, the holiness of your room. Noraot b'tzedek ta'aneinu Elohe yisheinu, Hashem, out of your righteousness, may you answer us to show us amazing things, Hashem, who is our salvation. David has spoken about our faults and our need for Hashem's kindness. Now he's saying, okay, we have to face up to our enemies. And there we ask you, Hashem, may you show us amazing salvation. Miftach kol katz ve'yeretz ve'yam rechokim. Hashem, you are the one in whom we take confidence throughout the land and in the far out seas. It always strikes me when people in Chutzarts hear that I'm living in Israel, they ask me, how often do bombs go off next to your house? And how do you dodge all those bullets? And then they say, I'm so impressed by you Israelis. You live with God. That's how you guys manage. And I spoke to a relative of mine who actually left Israel. Now, this is someone who was born here in Israel, and at some point he picked up his bags and left. And when I was a youngster, before I made Aliyah, so I asked him what he thinks about the idea. So he said to me, I find no logic in what's going on in Israel. The only understanding you could have of how this country keeps surviving is that God is there with them. And if God is there with them, so go. How can I tell you not to go? He himself left. But he said to me, he was truthful enough. He said, bottom line, somehow it's managing. So okay, why shouldn't you be a part of that? Noraot b'tzedek ta'aneinu Elokei yisheinu mivtach. Hashem is really the confidence of kol katzvei eretz v'yam rechokim, those who go great distances to the edge of the land, to the distant seas, and I'm adding, and those who live here in Israel as well. Mechin harim b'chochoho. Hashem, who created the mountains with his great might, nezahal b'gvura. Hashem is girdled with strength. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is that Hashem prepares rain for the mountaintops with God's might. Because ordinarily, mountaintops lose all the rain. Even when it rains, the rain slides down the mountain, and the valley is what's lush. The valley gets the rain. Mechin harim b'chocho, Hashem prepares rain for the mountains with his great might. One understanding might be that that's speaking about snow. That the benefit of snow is that snow sits on the mountain, and then the mountain can absorb the liquid, whereas if we'd only have rain, so then the rain would always slide down off the mountain and nothing could grow there. Mechin harim b'chocho, with God's might, Hashem creates rain for the mountains as well. Nezal b'gvura, Hashem girdles himself with might. And this is very often the word gevura in Tanakh. Hashem's might is an allusion to rain. We find that rain is called Givurot Geshamim. That's why our discussion of rain begins in the blessing of Shemona Esrei that begins with Atagi Bo. Hashem, you are mighty. There's one area where Chazal stressed that we see Hashem's might, and that is with regards to the rain. Because Chazal described how Hashem withholds rain from specific places, Hashem gives rain to specific places, Hashem does many things with the rain, and that, Chazal say, is what breaks our back, so to speak. A person can be stiff-necked until he reaches the point where there's a drought. That's where Hashem says, I hold the key, so to speak. And it forces our hand to recognize that He's the one in charge. All the meteorologists can't make it rain. And they can't even predict with 100% accuracy. That's why Eov, very often we find in Job, they come back to that point. You think you understand God? Go explain rain. What are they saying? They're saying there are certain things that are unpredictable. And there's a hand that's guiding all of that. And that's the perspective that we have about rain. That's why rain is very often described as God's might. That's where Chazal said one should recognize that there's a direct involvement from above. This applies in many realms. Be it the Medrash that says every blade of grass has its angel. Be it the Gemara that says that Hashem decides specifically which rain, which field will get which amount of rain, etc. Mashbiach she'on yamim, she'on galeihim, vahamon leumim. Mashbiach. So the word mashbiach has dual meaning. Mashbiach can mean to uplift, to praise, and mashbiach could mean to subdue, to put down. So mashbiach, she'on yamin, Hashem subdues the noise of the waves at sea, she'on galehem, the noise of their waves, va'amon lumim, and just as Hashem can subdue all the waves, so too Hashem subdues the nations. And here, this is a perspective that repeats itself throughout Tanakh. One can understand it poetically and maybe also scientifically. We know that the waves are affected by the moon and the sun. Chazal in Tanakh viewed the waves as the sea's expression that the waters are trying to burst upward. Chazal very often spoke about the waves as the sea trying to rise beyond its boundaries. And so throughout Tanakh, we have verses that describe how God keeps putting down the sea. The sea keeps trying to jump up, and God keeps putting it down. So just as Mashbiach, Sheon Yamin, just as God subdues the might of the seas, Sheon Galehem, the might of their waves, so too Hamon Lumim, the nations, which are often described as making noise just as the waves come crashing down, so too the nations make a lot of noise, but at the end of the day, Hashem say, David says, Hashem has the power to put them down as well. Vayireuhu Yoshevei Kitzavot Meototeha. And when you do wondrous things, then even the edges of the land, they all have awe of you, Hashem. Motzae Voker Va'erev Tarnin. The lights that come out in the morning and at night, be it the sun, be it the moon, that should arouse one's heart to sing. Motzae Voker Va'erev, those that come out in the morning and the night, Tarnin. That should arouse one's heart to sing in praise of Hashem. And notice that Chazal instituted for us in the morning, we sing Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer Oru Vorei Choshech, and at night, Ma'ariv Aravim. We are supposed to reflect on the changes in nature. The Medrash Tanhuma says that our prayers were positioned specifically corresponding to the times of the day. Chazal wanted us to notice the sunrise and pray. Notice the afternoon and pray. Notice the sunset and pray. Pakadta ha'aretz vateshokkeha rabat tasherena. David HaMelech says, Pakadta, you remembered, you looked down at the earth. Vateshokkeha, and you watered it. Rabat tasherena, you made it tremendously wealthy. Through the rains, you make the ground wealthy. Peleg Elohim, male mayim. The waters that come down from God are filled. Peleg Elohim is a poetic description as though God created a stream coming down from heaven. Peleg Elohim, God's stream is male mayim. It's filled with water. It's a poetic way of saying that God's never short on water. His faucet is always on. So, Peleg Elohim, God's stream is male mayim, is filled with water. God always has water if He chooses to give it. Tachin deganam, kichein techineha. Tachin deganam, through your water, through your blessings of rain, you prepare their grain. Kichein techineha, this is your way of preparing food and satiation for earth. And again, David is taking something which we see his nature, and he's saying, look at it the other way. Look at how Hashem is planning which people will have plenty, which people will have a drought. You know, in Africa, there's a terrible drought right now. I didn't know, but someone called in from Africa. They own some fields there. They wanted to know if on the second day Yom Tov, they could ask the non-Jews to water their fields. So that's how I know in Africa there's a terrible drought. And they said it's really bad. What?
Did they do it on Sunday Yom Tov?
Well, there were more details. Generally, we say you can't ask a non-Jew to do work on your behalf on Yom Tov. In this case, right. So in this case, it was a Jew who lived here. He had a partnership with a Jew who lived there. And the question was how he could set it up. There is a way to do it. They had to know how to set it up so that he could take advantage of his partnership and the fact that he lives here and it's not Yom Tov, in order to have the non-Jewish workers do work on his behalf, and his Jewish partner down in Africa shouldn't also be telling his workers to work on it. So there's a way to do it. That's what we had to figure out. I don't know where it was in Africa. I don't know. I have no idea.
Where else are the Jews in Africa?
I know Jews have investments all over in Africa, yeah. Jews own gold mines and gem mines. Telamea Ravei, Nachit Gedudeha, Birvivim Temogege, Natsimcha Tevarech. Telamea Ravei, Hashem, you satiate the troughs of the field, the paths which they dig in the field. I don't know what it's called in English when you dig a path for the water to go down. A trough, yeah. Okay. So tilamea rave, Hashem, you should satiate all the different trenches, right? The trenches of water. Nachet gedudeh. And one understanding here is that this will be nachat, it will be a pleasure for gedudeh, its battalions. So that's a poetic way of describing the vegetation growing in the field as the battalions of the field. Those are the armies, those are the soldiers of the field. So if you satiate the field, you give it water, so then you give nachas, so to speak, to its battalions. That's one understanding. Birvivim temogege na tzimcha tevarech. Birvivim, revivim is a type of cloud. It's interesting that revivim is a type of rain. We have many, many different names for rain and clouds. Different clouds have different names in Hebrew, and rain has different names. So, birvivim, through the rain that you bring down, tzimcha tevarech, you bless the vegetation of the field. Italta shena tovatecha, you crowned the year through giving it your blessing, your good. Umagalecha yirafun dashen, and ma'agalecha, your path, is filled with satiation. Dashen is fat, so to speak. You fatten up wherever you go. Wherever you choose to go your path, you fatten them up. Notice that David is really repeating the same idea over and over again. This is the chapter about rain. This is the chapter where David discusses how much we need rain and how much your rain blesses us and helps us. Yirafu ne'ot midbar. The places in the desert where people live, the oases, yirafu, they will drip with water. Yirafu ne'ot midbar, the oases will drip with water. V'gil giva'ot tachgona, and the hilltops will girdle themselves with happiness as you bring rain to the world. Laveshu charim hatzon. The sheep dress themselves with fat and with meat, because now that's again his poetic way of describing that the sheep have what to eat, so now they have more hair, they have more wool, the sheep therefore have more fat, so that's laveshu charim hatzon. The sheep dress themselves with fat and meat. Yes?
When you say sheep and hills and everything with regards to this, how does it relate to the sheep with reference to the matriarchs and patriarchs?
I don't know.
Does
I don't know.
It or does it not?
I don't know. V'amakim yatfuvar, and the depths will be wrapped with grain. The valleys will be wrapped with grain. Yitroahu af yashiru. All the creatures, all of humanity, will sing praise and rejoice over the rain that you've given us. So this is a chapter describing you give us rain and we'll all sing praise. This last pasuk has a lot in the Talmud in Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud discusses that David, who was a shepherd, was discussing the gestational cycle of the sheep. And from this pasuk, the Talmud wants to understand from David, when does the average sheep give birth? Is it in Adar? Most sheep finish giving birth by Adar. You'll notice here in Israel, you see it, we don't see sheep, we see cats. There's a specific month where you suddenly see a bunch of little kittens all over. Just like the sheep have a specific month where they give birth, and that's what David was describing here. Chazal understood, la vishu karim matzon. We interpreted it as the sheep dressed themselves with sheep, meaning the sheep all fattened up because they had what to eat because God brought rain to the world. Chazal understood, la veshu charim matzon, that the sheep got dressed with sheep is a modest way of describing the sheep mating. V'amakim yat fuval. And then when the valleys get covered with grain, that's the season when they give birth. So Chazal tried to understand which month exactly is the prime month that the sheep give birth in. Now, you understand that the sheep's birth is probably more connected to the solar cycle than the lunar cycle. So that's why Chazal had to define, working with the lunar cycle, when would we define the prime month where they give birth, which has relevance to the laws of Maaser Behemah. When we tithe the animals, so we have to tithe each year separately. So that's where the Talmud gave us another interpretation in this pasuk. There's also an understanding, Yitu'ahu af yashiru, that poetically David is describing the grain blowing in the wind, where as the grain moves one way or another, so you have stalks bouncing into one another, and there's a light hiss coming off of the field, and that's the Yitro'ahu af yashiru, that the grain, the fields will be filled with grain, and then the grain will sing in your honor, Hashem, as the grain sways in the wind and makes that noise. David calls it as Yitro'ahu, they sway, af yashiru, they sing as they sway. So David is describing in a very beautiful poetic way throughout the chapter how if God gives rain, so then all of nature comes forth and sings in honor of God. So again, the chapter began with a description that really the greatest praise is silence, because whatever we say isn't going to be enough. We turn to you, Hashem, because we know you listen to our prayers and you're willing to forgo our sins even when we do them willfully. You answer us with your greatness, with your might. You're willing to forgive us, to do kindness, and you satiate the world. He began by describing how you give rain even to the mountaintops. You use your might to ensure that even they get the rain. You have the power, as you control water, even the water that tries going upward, you keep it down, and you have control over the water coming from above to bring it down. You have this path that comes down that's never missing water. You can always give water. You can give the field water and make its growth happy. You can make the year crowned with good food. And then even the oases in the desert give song. The hilltops girdle themselves with praise as the sheep all fatten up, because everyone benefits from the rain you bring onto the earth. So that's the overview of the chapter. Again, a very poetic chapter about the rain. Yeah.